My dear faithful, when I was first entering the seminary, every seminarian covers a two-year course in philosophy. And we learn in philosophy the definition, the Catholic definition, of a society. This is a collection of people bound together under a common law to achieve a common goal. So every society has this element, which makes it a society. And in that same chapter, we learned later on that the family is the building block of society. If society is a big wall, the family is the individual stones in that wall that build it up, that make it what it is. The family is the oldest and the most natural form of government. We think of Adam and Eve in the garden. That was the first established society. They lived together in common under God's common law to achieve a common goal. So what is that common goal? What is the common goal to be achieved in the Catholic household, in our Catholic family? Well, it's really quite simple. That's to save our souls, right? That's our common goal, to get to heaven. For every member of a Catholic household to get to heaven is the goal of every Catholic household. There's a maxim of law in the church in Latin that reads, Salus animarum suprema lex. The salvation of souls is the supreme law, the highest law, and all other laws are ordered to that final end. The devil tries his best to destroy families. That is his specialty, we might say. To break up that little society striving after heaven by sowing seeds of discord amongst its members. Husband against wife, parents against children, siblings against siblings. Just as our Lord is the great unifier of the human race, he's the king and center of all hearts, as we pray in the litany of the Sacred Heart, the devil is the great divider. Divide and conquer is his motto. And he would like nothing better than to see families torn apart, because the devil knows the great harm that a broken home produces. Destroy families, and you destroy a society. Share a quick story with you. I graduated from a public high school. It was Catholic, private Catholic K through 11th, basically, and due to some difficult circumstances, we had to move, and I had to go to a public high school my senior year of high school. And that was a real eye-opener for me, because in a Catholic private school, you're pretty much in paradise, right? And public school is may as well be hell. There was a girl in my class. I met her, and we talked. We were kind of like friends. And one day, she just didn't come to class. We didn't see her for almost 3 months. What happened to her? It turns out, when she came back, she didn't tell anyone, but somehow someone figured out that she had attempted suicide, and it failed. And talking with her later, I discovered that her parents had divorced and then remarried and then divorced and remarried again. So she had so many step-siblings, you couldn't count them, who was which kid. How much damage divorce does to the children. So, the Holy Family is the model of the Catholic family. We think of the three members of the Holy Family, the roles that they played, and how we need to emulate that in our life. We think of Saint Joseph, head of the Holy Family. When I think of Saint Joseph, the virtues that come to my mind are, one, his great chastity. Why? Because our Blessed Mother was his spouse. She confirmed him in that virtue. And so how manly a virtue is chastity, and how, to such a high degree, he perfected and practiced that virtue. And from that flowed his other virtues. Because he was pure of heart, he was able to practice great humility. We have no recorded words of Saint Joseph in sacred scripture. He said very little. Because he didn't need to say a whole lot, his actions spoke louder than his words. We also think of his great fortitude, that through all the adversities of his life, he trusted in the providence of God. an angel tells him in a dream, you have to move to a foreign country where no one practices your religion and you don't speak the language. He didn't complain, he didn't argue, he didn't ask, how am I supposed to do this? He got up and he went. He trusted in the providence of Almighty God. We think of our Blessed Mother, obviously modesty, the first virtue that comes to mind. She's the model of all Catholic women, but especially of all Catholic mothers. Her great modesty, her great charity. She discovers that her cousin is with child, and she goes immediately, and the scriptures say she went with haste, not to be served, but to serve her, to be useful to her neighbor, to put her neighbor before herself. That great charity of our Blessed Mother. And a little side point I want to make on this about women in the home. We live in a society now that tries to convince women that you'll only be happy if you have a career. You have to go to college, get a four-year degree, and get a career, and then you can finally be free and be happy. I'm not saying that women can't go get a four-year degree and have a career, but it reminds me of a conversation I had once with a gentleman I worked with who was probably in his mid-40s. He was full-time mechanic. His wife was an RN. And after talking with him for some time, I realized that when the kids weren't in school, they were in daycare for most of the day. For the larger portion of the day, the children were not with the parents. And so, I mean, during the school year, that's pretty normal. If you come to school here, you're with the sisters, or if unfortunately not, had to go to public school, you're in public school. But I thought to myself after a while, well, if you're doing all this work and so is your wife, who's raising your children? I mean, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's so true. I can think of so many habits I formed in my life that my mom put into me, basically, when I was young. One that comes to mind is, she told me, whenever you hear a blasphemy, say, blessed be the name of God forever. And I've kept that all my life, only because it was when I was very young, she instilled that in me very seriously, to take that very seriously. So I'm not saying women can't go out and have a career, but how important it is that mothers form their children and are with around them and teaching them consistently, constantly. And finally, so for men, St. Joseph is your role model. For women, for mothers, it's Our Lady. And for children, it's Our Lord. And we just read in this gospel narrative something so interesting. Our Lord is ready immediately at 12 years old to begin his public ministry. He's going to save the world. He's going to redeem the world at 12 years old. And yet, Our Lady does not want that to happen. And so to give an example of obedience and humility, but primarily obedience, he returns to Nazareth and he's subject to them. So the Son of God is subject to human beings to show us that obedience that we should have to our parents. I'd just like to end with a note on the family rosary. We already know that Our Lady at Fatima asks us to pray the rosary every day. But how important it is that we pray that rosary together as a family. How many graces, how so great graces are dispensed through the common recitation of the rosary. And the rosary is one of those prayers where sometimes in our mind we make it into such a big deal. Oh, it's the most difficult part of the day. You've got to pray the rosary. It's 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes, and if you have trouble meditating, you can have a book with pictures in it. Think about the mysteries. Think about a virtue in those mysteries. I'll give you an example, the Annunciation. You can think about how Our Lady accepted her vocation from God with all of its crosses and trials and sufferings. She accepted the whole thing, and she didn't complain. So maybe next time we say that, next time we meditate in the Annunciation, we can think about that. But how important that is that we pray together as a family, pray the family rosary. I'm going to leave you with the slogan of Father Patrick Peyton. He was an Irish, I want to say he was a Holy Cross father, but I could be wrong. He was ordained before Vatican II. He's a valid priest. Unfortunately, he got swept up with the changes of Vatican II, but he had a national prayer program. He got more ecumenical towards the end and wanted families just to pray together, but a big thing with him was the family rosary. And his slogan, is printed on the bulletin at my home parish, on the top, every bulletin ever printed there. And it's the following words, and I pray that it is the truth for all of our families here today. The family that prays together stays together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.